gracia y de verdad. Juan dio testimonio de él y clamó diciendo: Este de quien yo decía, el que viene después de mí es antes de mí, porque era primero que yo. Porque de su plenitud tomamos todos, y gracia sobre gracia. Pues la ley por medio de Moisés fue dada, pero la gracia y la verdad vinieron por medio de Jesucristo. A Dios nadie le vio jamás. El unigénito Hijo que está en el seno del Padre, Él le ha dado a conocer. Amén.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God, his name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cries out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Amen. Please have a seat. This morning is going to require you to put your English hearing ears on. Usually Lewis is here to translate for me. Or the worship leader usually translates, and Jen said she didn't want to translate this morning. I don't know why that is. Probably because she doesn't know how to speak Spanish. Just like me. So put on your English listening ears and hear the word of the Lord. We just heard the story of Jesus' birth from the Gospel of John. That the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the first Sunday in the season of Advent, the month before Christmas, where we wait upon the birth of Jesus Christ. We take time to prepare our hearts and ourselves for our coming King in a cradle and a manger. It's a time of reflection and of preparation for us. So some of us take this time seriously. Some of us take this time to focus ourselves on Jesus Christ. I remember when I was little, we would have an Advent calendar. It was one of those calendars that had little windows on it, and every day you would open another window and pull out a piece of chocolate. Just to remind you that Jesus is coming soon. But Advent seems to take on a different aspect in this culture. It seems to get longer and longer in this culture. As soon as Halloween is over, they start putting Christmas candy on the shelves in Walmart and in Target. Advent, the Christmas celebration in this culture is centered around consumerism and giving gifts. And so, who was up at 4 o'clock in the morning on Friday to make it to Walmart or to Target or to a place like that? Come on, who did it? It's okay. We won't scorn you. We won't laugh at you. I won't look at you funny. Well, I probably will. But
We did the first year when Veronica was born.
Yeah.
And Mom, we have a picture of Mom at that time. It was the only time we did Black Friday.
God bless you. I didn't know you were famous. That's great.
And that's when Veronica was a little baby.
Right. And isn't that what Christmas seems to be about in our day and our time? Finding the perfect gift to give to somebody. Walking up and down aisles of stores, trying to find something for people who seem to have everything. And the reality is, when you're surrounded by people who seem to have everything, what you should get them for Christmas is nothing, right? Because they already have everything and you're just wasting your money anyway. But we still wander up and down aisles looking for Christmas gifts because that's what the culture tells us we need to do, to spend money for Christmas. And when we do that, we forget about Jesus Christ. And what I want to ask this morning is does it really matter that the word became flesh and blood and came into the world, made his dwelling among us? So we've gotten into a pattern of living that the birth of Jesus really doesn't make sense in this world. We've gotten into a pattern of life that seems to not always remember Jesus Christ. And I want to know if Jesus coming to this world really makes a difference to us, or should it make a difference? And what I have to say is that it makes all the difference in the world to us. It makes a difference in the way that we understand who God is. It makes a difference in the way we understand who we are. And it makes a difference in the way that we interact with the people and the community around us. And I want to talk about that for just a little bit. Jesus coming into this world, the Word becoming flesh and making his dwelling among us, makes all the difference in the way we understand who God is. Studies tell us that many times we perceive God to be like our earthly fathers. That if we had a strong, authoritarian, earthly father, we see God as a strong, authoritarian, earthly God, or a strong, authoritarian God. You know, the God of the Old Testament who likes to put his fist down upon you and who likes to condemn you or look down upon you. Many times our vision of who God is reminiscent of our own earthly fathers. We have many different ideas of who God is. Sometimes we just don't think God is active in this world or around in this world or cares about this world anymore. Yesterday, Jen and I were in New Orleans. We have gone to Mississippi for Thanksgiving, and we stopped in New Orleans at Café du Monde for breakfast to eat beignets. Made me sick all day long, but it was worth it. It was worth it. We went to a museum there that had a display of pictures and artifacts from Hurricane Katrina. And it just breaks your heart to see this stuff. And in one picture, in one display, there was a teddy bear that was found somewhere in New Orleans. And it was just covered over in mud. And they'd taken it and preserved it and set it on display. And this is a reminder of everything that was lost in the storm. They show pictures of water coming in and houses being lost and possessions and people just broken down, crying because of so much loss and so much heartache. And you look at things like Hurricane Katrina and Hurricane Ike, and divorce and heartache and pain and whatever, and you wonder, does God really care? Does God really exist in this world? We all have different perceptions of God and who God is. But the scriptures say that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And I think that should have input as to who we believe God is. I think first it needs to remind us that God cares. Cares so much that he became one of us, right? That he came to be part of us and to live the experience that we lived. That's what the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, has to say, is that God experienced everything we've had to experience here in this world except for sin. God cares about us. He's not that distant God who made the world and then just sat back and does nothing. But he sent his Son in order to make a difference in this world. We serve a caring God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It makes all the difference in our understanding. That we don't have a God who is like our authoritarian earthly fathers. We have a God who is loving and who cares for us. But we also have to recognize that we have a God who makes himself known through sacrifice. Through sacrificing for us. Right? That his ultimate act of love is by giving of himself to us. From going from the heavenly throne to this earthly dwelling is quite a sacrifice. That's what the book of Philippians has to say, chapter 2. That Jesus didn't think so much of himself, but he took on the very nature of a human. We have a God who loves, and a God of sacrifice, who shows his love through sacrificing for us. Whenever we get to the point in our lives that we feel like God doesn't care, when life happens to us in such a way that we are overwhelmed by the circumstances, we must remember that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That God does care. He cares enough to send his Son to us to bring life, salvation, and hope, and peace to this world. I think it makes all the difference that Jesus Christ came into this world. It makes all the difference for us in our understanding of God. But I think it also makes a difference in how we understand who we are as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in my own translation of it, says that all of the promises God has ever made are true because of Jesus Christ. All the promises God has ever made are true because of Jesus Christ. Now, isn't it true that the biggest critic that we all know in our lives resides in our own heads? Right? You hear those voices, right? That you're way too much, or you did something stupid, or you're not good enough, or you're not smart enough, or you're not wealthy enough, or you're not whatever enough. You know, you hear the voices of you don't have what it takes, or you're not there quite yet. You hear the voices of guilt and the voices of shame that reside within and keep shouting out to us, right? But the scripture says that for no matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes in Jesus Christ. They are all true in Jesus Christ. And so if we are to understand who we are as people of God in Jesus Christ, let's find out what those scriptures have to say about us. That we were made in the image of God, Genesis 1:27. Exodus 19:5 says that we are God's treasured possessions, and that guilt and the shame that we feel should hear that we are God's treasured possessions. Isaiah 43, verse 1 says that God knows us by name. And on the times where we feel insignificant, on the times where we feel like just one of the crowd, like nobody cares about us, we need to remember that God knows us by name. Zephaniah 3:17 says that God delights over us in love. On the days that we hate ourselves the most, on the days when those voices shout the loudest, there's a louder voice saying that I delight over you. I do the happy dance. Because of you, he delights over us in love. We just read in John 1:12 that those who believed, those who received his name, he gave the right to be called his children. And you are a child of God. And there's no child of God who should live under the hand of guilt. And there's no child of God who should live under the burden of shame or under the burden of heartache or whatever it is. Why? Because we're children of God, and all those promises in the scriptures that God makes are yes because of Jesus Christ. All the promises. that God makes are yes because of Jesus Christ. We are wonderfully and fearfully made. Psalm 139. Yes, because of Jesus Christ. It should change how we look at ourselves. It should change how we listen to that voice deep within. How we start to turn that voice off and instead start to listen to the voice of the Spirit about how wonderfully and awesomely we are all made. That we all have this presence within us. We all have Jesus Christ within us. We've all been crafted by God. Why? Because that's what the Scriptures have to say. And because Jesus Christ came, all of those promises of the Scriptures are true. It should totally change the way that we see ourselves. That we can be hard on ourselves so often, can't we? I know I'm hard on myself, and all of us are hard on ourselves. But all of the promises of Scripture are true in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ coming to this earth makes a difference in the way that we see God. He makes a difference in the way that we see ourselves, and he should make a difference in the way that we see our community and the people around us. There's one translation of the Bible that translates verse 14 that says the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. I love it. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Meaning Jesus Christ lives in our neighborhood. Jesus Christ lives on 57th Street. Jesus Christ lives on Broadway. Jesus Christ lives in Galveston. That's a different thought for us, I think, because I would bet many of us have church fatigue. Many of us have church outreach fatigue. Many of us have church fatigue, that we are tired of trying to reach out and having nobody come to our church. We're tired of telling people to come to church and they just don't show up. We're tired of trying to invite people to come to church and they don't show up like they used to. We're fatigued and we're tired. We have a lot of bad ideas about this community, that many times we think that this community is, the community around us is totally bad. We think of all the bars in Galveston. We think of all the partying in Galveston. We think of what happens over on the Strand during Mardi Gras, whatever it is. But the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the community, meaning that there is an active presence of Jesus Christ in Galveston. There is an active presence of Jesus Christ in Galveston. And I think that says a couple of things for us. First, I would direct us to the Experiencing God study, which we've been looking at, which says that it is our job as a church to find what Jesus is doing in this community and then partner with him in the community, come alongside of him in his work. Where would we find Jesus Christ in Galveston? Where would we find Jesus Christ in the community right behind the church here? Let's go and do that and walk alongside of him and see what happens. That way we experience God and we do his work. I think that's one thing, but I think another thing means that there's hope for us, for those of us who are fatigued. Those of us who have already been there and done that. Those of us who have knocked on doors. Those of us who continue to encourage and ask and twist arms and try to break arms to get people to come to church on a Sunday morning. There is hope for us because the Word became flesh and blood and he moved into this neighborhood. That Jesus is not done with this community. And so we should not be done with this community. Jesus is not done with this world or with this city. And so we should be not done with this city. We have hope. And we've seen pictures of that. And when we've come together with Jesus Christ to do his work, we've seen how people have responded. When our friends from Austin came with all those different clothes, how many people came through the church that day? When we did the La Fiesta de Chile last year, how many people came and ate 8 pots worth of chili on that day? Not enough, because we had to drive around the city and give out the rest of it. But people respond when you do the work of the Lord. People respond that Jesus Christ is active in this world and in this community. So if you are one of those people who are fatigued with outreach, if you are one of those church fatigued people as well, that you're sick of meetings or sick of structures or whatever it is, like I am, I want you to know and I want me to know that there's hope. Because the Word became flesh and made His dwelling amongst us. And I think that speaks into our personal relationships as well. That we can never lose hope in the relationships that we have. We can never lose hope. I know Brother Randy was here preaching a couple weeks ago, and he talked about forgiveness. And I think that's an important issue for this congregation to think about, is forgiveness. Forgiveness of the people who left a couple of years ago. Forgiving them for the hurts. Taking the hurts that we hold deep inside, the pains of our families and whatever, and giving them to Jesus Christ in forgiveness. I think that's important for us. If there's one next step I think this congregation should take, is forgiveness. Why is that? Because I believe Jesus Christ is still living in this world. And I believe in hope. And I believe that Jesus Christ, being active in this world, living in our hearts, cannot do what He needs to do with the barriers of unforgiveness in our lives. That we need to forgive. We need to give that stuff to Jesus Christ and allow Him to take that from us. So that we can forgive. That we can be the people that God created us to be. And we can break down the barriers within that are keeping us from being and working alongside this God who has become flesh and blood and moved into this community. When the scriptures say that the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, it says, just spit on my Bible. It happens. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 17 says, the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I think that's the difference that Jesus coming into this world makes. Is that when Jesus comes into this world, He brings grace and truth with Him. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. That there's nothing that we can do to earn God's favor. Jesus Christ did that for us. There's nothing that others can do to earn God's favor. Jesus Christ did it for them as well. But He also brought truth as well. And that truth is in the way in which we perceive ourselves. Truth is in the way we perceive the world. The truth is in the way we perceive God above. Grace and truth. And I know that many times we believe lies. That lies are so sown into our hearts, are so sown into our structures and into our daily living. Lies that God does not exist. Lies that we are worthless. Lies that this community is unredeemable. But the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And it's through Jesus Christ that grace and truth comes. And so on this first Sunday of Advent, on this first Sunday of the Christmas season, the encouragement is to turn your eyes upon Jesus and the truth that Jesus Christ brings into our lives. The truth that is found in the Bible. The truth that is found in the ways in which we should live. To stop believing the lies that have penetrated our hearts and penetrated our souls in order that we can live the life that we were created to live and be the people that God created us to be. And to interact and love the community and our surroundings and one another the way that God intends for us to love the community and our surroundings and one another. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood as an influx of truth. As an influx of how we should live. The way in which we should live. So this Christmas season, let's set our eyes upon Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Amen. Amen.